You are listening to episode 47 of the Soulful Podcast. Allow yourself to feel your grief with special guest Shannon Miller. Welcome to the Soulful Podcast. I am your host, Megan Harmony, a champion at overcoming the tough stuff and enjoying life while rising above it. Soulful living means getting to a place of ease and comfort, no matter what's happening around you. It is waking up excited about what adventures you will go on. It's connecting to the power within you as your source of strength, grace, and security. It's being uncomfortable during growth spurts and leaning into the stretch. Each week, I will share with you about my journey and the experiences I have had. I'll offer you hope and inspiration that it is possible to live a full life, even when the you-know-what is hitting the fan. I believe that love is a language we can all understand, and I want to inspire you to trust and believe in yourself. Your soul is hungry for more. Lean in to get soul full. Shannon Miller is an inspirational speaker, grief guide, and coach, a best-selling author, and the founder of Conversations with Shannon. Shannon openly shares her stories of grief and trauma to give people hope, validation, and insight into their grief. As a grief guide, Shannon walks beside her clients as they navigate their own pain and helps guide them out of their darkness. Shannon believes that having deep, meaningful conversations allows us all to feel heard, acknowledged, and supported. Welcome, everyone, to the Soulful Podcast. I am so excited today to have my dear friend Shannon on with us. Shannon and I met during the Great Canadian Woman book series. We were co-authors together, and her story, you guys, is so powerful. Shannon is an incredible woman. I've just gushed on her for 10 minutes before we started recording about how much I adore and love her and how much she inspires me. And I'm so grateful she's here to share with you guys. Welcome to the show, Shannon.
Hi, Megan. Thanks so much. Oh, I'm so happy to be here. It's taken us a bit to get this going. So I'm so glad we could make it work today.
Me too. And you know what? It takes what it takes. The universe I've decided the universe brought us together at the perfect time because I needed our little chat beforehand today.
Good.
So Shannon, what is your go-to boost your spirits song?
Oh, those are good questions. Anything Queen. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So that, I mean, I'm an old rock and roll, like even AC/DC, like that kind of stuff, but just some really like get me pumped up.
Yeah. Oh, you and my mother are soul sisters, and therefore we are soul sisters because my mother is a diehard Queen fan and we know all the songs. Just a tidbit story to make everyone laugh. Many, many years ago, when I was young, we were at our cottage in Ann Arbor, and I had to come back, and short and the long it is, the car we borrowed from my sister had very bad brakes on it, and the only tape she had was Queen, I can't even think of the name of it now. I see a little silhouette.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah.
That's it. Yes. So we listened to that for like 3 hours on the drive home with no brakes, and it anytime I hear that song now, I'm like, we can do it. This is our song, right? So, anyways.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So Queen is our go-to when we're feeling broken in our family. Yeah. So. What is your favorite childhood memory?
That would have to be, I have two, but I'll go with the camping. My family would go camping every summer. And I just remember sitting around the campfire, just the whole experience of being together, no TV, no rush to go anywhere, right? It was just, yeah. I have five sisters, so there's always someone to play with.
Nice. I can imagine five girls camping, just having a blast in nature.
Yeah. Lots of dirt. Yeah. It was fun.
Dirt is always fun. Now, did you guys make mud pies when you were girls?
We did, but my mom maybe didn't really like that so much. But so But we did also, because there's no boys in my family, my dad just taught us everything. Like, just, right. They didn't, it almost seemed like it wasn't like, you are girls, do this. It was just like, your kids do this kind of thing.
Right.
So he taught us how to, you know, throw a ball for baseball. And like, I didn't know what people were talking about when they would say, like, do you throw like a girl? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, so then I'd throw the ball and they'd be like, oh, you don't throw like a girl. Anyway, so he also taught us how to cut wood and all that camping, because he'd go back to the city during the week and work, and we'd stay out at campground. But so, yeah, just campfires and just, I don't know, it just, it was a very happy time. We always look forward to going camping in the summertime.
Now, do you still camp today?
Yes.
I figured that. When it's in your, when camping's in your soul, it, yeah, it doesn't leave you.
No, no, it's a beautiful thing. Very peaceful.
I love that. And I also love that you come from a family that it wasn't like, you're a girl, do this, you're a boy, do this. Like, mm-hmm. It was just, you're a child, do this. And so when people would say to you, do you throw like a girl? You didn't even understand what that meant, because that wasn't, you just throw like a Shannon, because you're a Shannon who throws a ball, right? That's beautiful. That's
pretty awesome.
So the next question I want to ask you is, who would you say inspires you the most?
This is going to make me cry. I would have to say in this moment, because, you know, over the course of your life, different people come in and out of it, or you look up, because you're looking, I think, for strength from others or what you want to achieve, that kind of thing. But for this time in my life, I would have to say my daughter, Nicole, Nikki.
Aww.
So just, she just has such a pure heart, and she just wants the best for everybody so much. And she has such a strength and so much love to give. That is just, she's almost like someone I aspire to be. Even though she's my daughter, like, she's younger than me, but it's just like, she's a really beautiful soul.
I love that, Shannon. I love that. And it almost sounds to me like you look at her and think, I can learn so much from her.
Yes.
And when we can see our children as some of our greatest teachers, that's where the growth comes. And also taking a little bit of credit.
Yeah, I guess.
We moms are terrible at that. Yeah. I know. And it's like, you get to look at your child and go, I helped her become that.
Yeah.
And it might not all be my doing. It might be other influences and things, but that you were a part of this beautiful human being that's walking the earth.
Yeah, it's true. It's such a gift that we receive to become mom, right? And yeah, you're right. We do need to take some of that credit, right?
I have to actually attribute that to our good friend, Sarah Swain, and some other coaches like Cassie Jeans, who talked to me and said, Megan, your daughter is who she is because of you. And I was like, no, it's because of who she is. Like, I would argue with people, and they're like, take some credit for the good that child is, right? And it was a real process for me to do that. But I think it's so important as moms or dads, if any of the men are listening, to really take some ownership for the wonderful human beings that our children are growing to be.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, let's see. What do I want to be when I grow up? Well, I really like speaking on stage. And the reason why I think I would like to do that more often is because I feel such a connection to the people when I'm on stage, and like the healing and the energy and the excitement and encouragement and all that stuff that's great about the community and speaking with people is given and received when you're on the stage. So somewhat selfish of a thing that I want to be when I grow up, I guess.
That's okay.
But I really love being part of a community in that kind of way, in an aspiring, we'll support you and we'll lift you up and it's okay if you fall and, you know, all that kind of thing. So I'm not sure if speaking, just speaking is part of it, but just something to do with the, like the whole community. And I think part of the grief journey that I've been on these last 6 years has just really opened my eyes to the realization of how important a community is, or even like different little groups of people, because, you know, you need different things at different times, and and being open to having people come into your world and help you and all of that. So I don't know exactly what the exact thing is that I would like to do when I grow up. I just know that I wanted to be with a community of people, which is extra weird because I'm an extreme introvert. And I need both. I don't even know what, is that a thing? Like, is there a name for that?
I keep hearing the term extroverted introvert, which is people that really appreciate, if I understand it correctly, it's people that appreciate social interaction and that support system, but they also need to be able to come home and have their personal space. So it's this extroverted introvert that likes both.
Yeah, that would be
at different times.
Right? Yeah. So that's what I want to be when I grow up. Something to do with that.
Well, and I can definitely see you doing that, holding space for a community of people that also hold space for you. Very loving. And I kind of already see you doing that, but with your conversations with Shannon and the coffee time, which I love that you moved that on Zoom when the pandemic like, now I haven't been able to make it yet, but my goal is to make it to one before this ends, because I'm like, coffee with Shannon over Zoom? Yes, I'm in. And we do definitely need different people for different things at different times, and they need us. And it's kind of that whole idea of like, you help me, I'll help you, and we're all in this together. Right?
Together. Yeah. Love that.
What does it mean to you to live a soulful life?
You know, that changes almost every day, because back when I talked to you first about being on your podcast, like I really thought about it and had different answers. And then just over time, because I think that's a really good question, just to ask yourself every once in a while, like just check in with yourself almost. So today, living a soulful life, you know, it's just, I quite often go back to just living your truth. Yeah. And I think we should all be able to do that. And not in a way that my truth is the right way, or you have to live my truth, but also being able to speak your truth, because something that might upset me may not upset you, but that doesn't mean it's not upsetting me or making me happy or whatever emotion that's attached to it. So today, I don't know, that's what first popped up, was just being able to live your truth. And I think with the pandemic, if you don't mind me referring to that, but it's really, I think, opening a lot of people's eyes, and it's kind of a beautiful thing to see more and more people stepping into their truth and not being afraid to just live it, because what the heck's happened, right? Like, we're living in a global pandemic. If now's not the time, when is the time, right? So that would be my answer for today.
And I love that too, how you mentioned, Shannon, that it evolves, right? Because your soul truth or your soul-led life or soulful life does evolve as you continue to grow and expand and, or possibly not expand, but do the opposite, which word is escaping me right now. Contract, there we go. Sometimes when we're contracting, it changes too, right? And so I love that you check in, and it's day to day. And that idea of it really being living our truth, being able to speak our truth without fear, without judgment, and not feeling that our truth has to be everyone else's truth. And I think that's so important at this time. And I've actually voiced this a little on my social media. Just because I believe something to be true right now, either about the pandemic or the state of the world or whatever else, does not mean that you have to believe it, Shannon, or that anyone else has to. And I really had to look at that, because when this started, I was voicing some opinions. And then I realized that's not necessarily the right way for me to go about it when my value in life is spreading love.
Yeah.
Right. And if I'm telling others that they're doing it wrong, then I'm not spreading love. It was inauthentic, right? And so I really had to check with myself.
But good for you for doing that though. And that really, and I mean, a few things have happened during this pandemic to me, just like the rest of the world. And a couple of the times I really had to like step back and go, whoa, that's totally your ego. Like get over yourself. You know, like the rest of the world is also dealing with this kind of stuff. So it's like, So yeah, I think it is good. And yeah, you do, I think, need to check in. What is living a soulful life for you? And I think too, it can also cycle.
Yeah.
Because there's beautiful times in your life and they come and they go or whatever. There's like how wonderful to go back to some of that beautiful stuff.
Yeah, to visit it again, for sure. Mm-hmm. We've touched a little on the pandemic. And again, I'm not sure when this episode will air, but if it's still during that time frame, I do want to share with the listeners any kind of suggestions you have about kind of what your family's been doing with regards to navigating the pandemic and anything like that you might have to share with us.
Sure. So early on in the pandemic, I realized a lot of it, like a lot of people are grieving different things. I'm a grief guide, so I pick up on that kind of stuff pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it was just making sure you're reaching out to people and even just to yourself. Again, it's always about checking in with yourself. Where are you at today? Maybe yesterday was a super great day and you enjoyed the sunshine and you're out gardening or all of that stuff. Today, it's like here it's rainy and it's gloomy. So, you know, check in with yourself and reach out for help, reach out to others. I don't have family here where I live. We're spread all over Western Canada. So I organized a Zoom call and taught my mom and my sisters how to do Zoom. So we have a weekly Zoom call, got my kids on WhatsApp so we could FaceTime because it helps to see them. I mean, it really does. Talking's good, right? Talking's good, but just seeing them and so we did that. We have tried to stay somewhat healthy with our eating because that's a dark pit to go in. And then it just causes all kinds of stuff, right? Bad sleeping and all that. But mostly, you know, I just want to reach out to your listeners and just remind them that, you know, we're human. We have bad days, we have good days. We're in a global pandemic. This isn't something that people have chosen or like we all feel out of control. So find that little something that like if that is spinning you out of control, knowing you have no control, find that one thing that you can control, whether it's your mood or your sleep or your exercise or your reading. Like just find something that you can kind of ground yourself with. And again, it's all the same with grief, right? You want to try and keep a little bit healthy, keep hydrated. I know these sound very simple and little, but when you're in chaos, that kind of stuff, you kind of forget. So just try and keep the stress down a little bit too.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you touched on that, Shannon, because self-care seems to be the first thing that goes when stress levels get too high or where other things feel out of control. It sounds simple, like make sure you stay hydrated, get your sleep. But when you're in that chaos, as you worded it, it can be hard to remember those simple steps that give us so much.
Right? Mm-hmm. So true.
And I think at that time, that's going to probably segue us into, I would love for you to share with us, Shannon, your story of your dark night of the soul, as we'll call it. And then if you can, just some steps you took or any experience you had that kind of pulled you through it.
Sure. I'd love to. So I have three children and a single mom. And they are my everything, like most moms, most parents, I'm sure. But we had just such a special connection. And again, I don't know, maybe every other parent has the same connection, but for me, it just felt like such a good connection. So in April of 2014, my middle daughter, well, my middle child, Katie, she went to a house party, a university house party, and it was a party that she went to with all of her childhood friends. She didn't go out much. She just didn't go out much. I guess she was introverted like me. So very happy I was that she was going. I encouraged her to go and, you know, all of that. And there's pictures of that night and she was having fun and I saw how smiley she was. But someone invited another friend and unfortunately that friend was in the middle of a psychotic break that no one knew about. And it really escalated that day. And in the end, at the end of the party, a few of them had stayed back. And he ended up stabbing 5 people to death. And one of those people was my Katie. So I remember hearing it on the radio, driving to work the next day, that this had happened, that these 5 murders had happened. And I knew instantly that it was Katie, and no idea how I knew. I just did. And sure enough, I got the phone call after I had arrived to work to come to my ex-husband's house, Katie's dad's house. So of course, for sure, I knew then. But yeah, and the detectives were very kind. Like it was, I didn't even know where the courthouse was. I didn't know where the police station was. Like it just wasn't, you know, and our kids are good kids. It wasn't that, you know, that was a crazy party. They've had all kinds of trouble. It was just, he had a psychotic break. I mean, it wasn't anything anybody was doing wrong. So I remember them talking and I remember them, their lips moving and all of that. But all I remember is that they said that Keith died. And after that, I don't really remember too much. But of course, I mean, it just shattered my world. It changed everything, absolutely everything. And it was very, it was in the news everywhere. So of course I stopped watching the news. I wouldn't read the newspaper. I didn't go on social media for over a year after it happened. But even just going for groceries, I stopped going for groceries because the first time I went for groceries afterwards, the people in line in front of me were talking about it. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it was all over our city. I mean, it was the worst mass murder in our city. So it just, there was lots of triggers. And then, of course, you know, having to prepare for the trial and all that, it just was a constant reminder all the time. But it was so hard to see my kids as well go through it. And I knew they were helping me because that first year they did so much for me. Like they just, it's just like a tsunami. That's how I describe a lot of the first year, especially. I just felt like I kept being pulled under into the darkness. And every once in a while I'd see them and I'd come up for a breath of fresh air and that sort of thing. So, but you know, you eventually have to decide. And that's, you know, in looking back, that's what I did. It's, I couldn't stay in that pain. It was horrific. But then if you want something different, you have to do something different, right? So, and prior to Katie being killed, I mean, I'd done quite a bit of self growth work and that sort of thing. So it wasn't just out of the blue that I decided, oh, I'm going to do this, because I did have that, you know, thankfully I had that already in me. But, you know, I come from a family of strong women too, so that certainly helps. And so, yeah, I decided that I couldn't live in such darkness anymore, not for my other kids that were still alive, not for myself, and not for Katie either, because her life was taken. And I just thought, wow, that's a real disservice. You know, she didn't have a choice, but I do. So, and I also thought, Yeah, maybe if I try and take a few steps forward, it'll give my other kids permission to continue to live their life. Like, are they stuck? Because I'm stuck. Right. So yeah, made that choice. And, you know, I started with nutrition because I've been an athlete my whole life. So I knew the nutrition side. It wasn't, again, nothing I had to research. I couldn't read. I couldn't remember things. Like, the trauma had done so much to my brain that I needed to go where I knew. I couldn't learn anything new. So I started with that. And slowly my sleep got a little bit better and joined a community, like found some people that would support me. And it was a health and wellness community, and which is what I needed, because you know, at that time I was literally shattered. Like, my skin was holding me together for sure. So I did that. And then I just realized, speaking with other people and a lot of people reaching out to me, that there was a lot of sort of inconsistencies about grief. A lot of, I won't say lies, but like invalid things, like the 5 stages of grief. I remember saying to my doctor, like, what is this crap? Like, I'm in this 5 stages of grief every day. Like, I go back and forth and up and around. And I said, I'm not doing it right, is the words I used. And she actually started to laugh and she goes, there's no doing it right. You're grieving, you know? So I did have a lot of people in my world that also helped me see things. But I do remember saying to my oldest daughter that, you know, once I feel better, once I feel stronger, I really want to share the truth about grief. Because not just for people who are in grief, but for people that may be supporting someone in grief or just our friends. And to know that it doesn't, like, once year one anniversaries of everything goes by, doesn't mean you're all better.
Right.
And one thing that I have found that I have shared that seemed to really connect with a lot of people is someone had said to me, it was last Christmas, and it was the 5th Christmas that Katie isn't with us. And she said, you know, it must be getting easier now that, like, it's been 5 Christmases, it must be getting easier. And she was saying it with love. It wasn't, so it was kind of the perfect person to say it to me. I didn't get offended, but I was then able to explain to her that it doesn't get easier because it's 5. It actually hurts a little bit more because it's been 5. You know, it's 5 years since I've hugged her, since we've talked, since she's bought me the coolest present, because that was just something that she was really good at. So yeah, I just feel now a lot of the work I do is to educate and not in judgment of people, because as a society, I think we're taught wrong things. Like, why do we need to hide it? To me, grief is just another way that we're expressing love. So why is that? That's cool to me. I mean, it's like, I take my grief with me everywhere. Just like I take the love I have for all my kids. And I mean, it's always with me, but that doesn't mean I'm not also living my life. And I think if anything that I could share with your listeners is that there is a way to honor your grief, but live a happy life. And it just takes a whole lot of work. It's not easy. Like, you just don't wake up and say, okay, everything's sunshine and roses and unicorns. Yeah. It's not true. And there's going to be days where you're going to have to remember all the lessons you learned to get out of that dark day. But just as much as there's going to be sunshine days too. So, and that's all the journey. It's a forever journey. And you learn a lot of lessons and meet a lot of wonderful people along the way, just like you.
Thank you, Shannon. You're Thank welcome. You so much for sharing your story with us. again, this is why I say you're such an inspiration, because you chose for yourself, for your children, and for Katie, that you were meant to live and share your experience. And I love the experience you share about grief is, number one, different for every individual mm-hmm. person and how they experience it. And two, the five stages of grief, whoever came up with that has never actually lost someone, like, in my opinion.
Do you know what? I did research on that because I was so angry. So something else about me is that I'm very stubborn and I want answers. Like, I ask questions in my head all day long. So if something's really bothering me, I'll research it till I find out. But the five stages of grief was actually developed for people in hospice care, for the dying. And if you look at it from the aspect of someone dying, it makes much more sense. But somewhere in society, it's gotten all muddled that it's people in grief that should be following these five stages. So I thought, I've brought that up a few times because it's brought a huge sense of relief to a lot of people, because you really do feel like you're doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You're told by so many people, well, this is how you're supposed to be feeling now. And it's like, well, there's no way I'm feeling that.
Right.
So it's, the five stages of grief really needs to be, I think, just tossed away.
Yeah, unless you're in hospice care.
Yes.
Then of course. But yeah, that's very interesting. I don't think I knew that. And if I did, it's long escaped me. But that's, and of course, I love that you're a researcher, Shannon, because you definitely are. It's speaking of to all the listeners, if you have a question that you can't find the answer,
there you go.
Message Shannon and she'll either know it or she'll help you find
I'll find it out. Yeah.
But I also love that you're giving yourself and anyone else experiencing grief permission to bring their grief with them. Right? Don't let it consume you.
Right.
Or if you need to for a day, then you know, but try not to stay stuck there and ask others in your community for support and ask for the help you need. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it's okay to bring it with you to Christmas dinner, mm-hmm. or because you're going to bring it anyway, so you might as well give yourself permission to have it alongside.
Yeah. Right? And I think slowly over time you can change your thoughts regarding your own grief. I mean, I was very, for me at first, my grief was dark. My grief was cold. My grief was mean. Like, it was like clawing into me and ripping me apart and that type of thing. But over time, it's almost, you develop a love for it once you realize that. And this is for me, and it, you know, a lot of my clients I've spoken with and helped too, they agree with me, but I see it as I slowly started to like fall in love with my grief just because I realized it was my love. Right. So it's just love. So then slowly over time, it became like a soft sunshine. And, you know, it was wrapping its arms around me as opposed to clawing in me and, you know, different things like that. So it's almost like, you know, the bullies in school, most of them just really want to be your friend, yeah. Right? So at first they're mean to you, but if you can just show them a little kindness, I don't want to get on the whole bullying thing because that's a whole nother topic, but that's just how I picture it in my head. And, you know, people can just use whatever picture, like use your thoughts. It's okay to think about this stuff. And I too, me included, ran away from my thoughts and feelings for so long because they hurt and they were scary and they were painful and I didn't want to go there. But as soon as I realized I just needed to acknowledge them and hold them, and then they were allowed to go. You know, it's almost like bless and release, right? Mm-hmm. But the longer I run from them, they just keep trailing behind me, and then I'm carrying them forever. And oh my God, they got so heavy. And
yeah.
So again, like this is all a process. It's been 6 years now for me, so it's not like again I just didn't wake up and everything was wonderful. So find your way, and for sure, reach out to friends, reach out to people that maybe have experienced whatever it is that you're experiencing. And I'm not saying do everything that they did, but some things you're going to connect to. Some things are going to stick and go, yeah, that feels right. I'm going to try that. And you know what? Try it. And if it doesn't work, then you know.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of things I've tried and it's like, yeah, no. Nope.
Never doing that again.
Nope. Yeah. So, yeah.
But it's so important to be willing to try for your own sake, right? Because oftentimes, just not related to grief, but just in life in general, that thing that you kind of think you should try, but you're not really sure, and then you do it, often ends up being the thing that you really needed to do, right? Yeah. So when you have that inspired thought, or you hear someone share, this is what I did, and you think, I should try that. Like you said, try it. Yeah. If it turns out it's not your thing, at least you tried, and good for you, and on with the next thing. And the idea that grief is a process, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not just a one and done.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing process, and new layers are going to develop. Mm-hmm. And just, I love the reframe that you share, Shannon, of seeing your grief as your love for that person. Or in some cases, that experience, like, because I know a lot of people are grieving their jobs right now. That's and their right. businesses.
Yeah.
It's your love for your business. It's your love for that job. Right now we're talking about people just because of Shannon's experience of losing her daughter, right? But when you can reframe it in that way, that this is just my love for that thing, it does kind of take that hard edge off. Right?
Yeah. And it makes it acceptable as well. Like, why can't we show grief? Like, what? Who made that rule? Because there's other communities. I don't know what I can't. I'm lost for the word. But I believe it's an African community that they actually have grief circles, and the person that's grieving is in the middle of the circle, and sometimes it goes for days. This circle, wow. And it's all about caring for this person in grief. And supporting them and loving them and feeding them, and you know, like, and it's all focused on just this person in grief. And they're encouraged to show their grief and express it in different ways and that sort of thing. So I just thought, how beautiful is that? Like, maybe people's grief and trauma wouldn't last for, you know, such a long and harsh time if they just felt the love and support and understanding of their community. So it's like, I don't know, Western Canada, I think sometimes doesn't know what it's doing with a lot of this stuff.
It's so interesting as you mentioned that. I've never heard of that grief circle before, but it actually, while you were talking about it, made me think I could have benefited from you in my life, and that when my stepfather died of suicide. I owned that for a very long time, being the last one to see him alive. I blamed myself, and it definitely took a lot of years to process through all that, right? And as you're talking, I'm just like, I think that circle thing would have been really good. Because the other thing, I mean, as everyone on here knows, that's listened knows my story, I heavily turned to the substances and started coming out and just... you know, I just couldn't cope. And like you said, I was running away from the thoughts and the feelings and the blame I had put on myself and everything else. So I'm glad you're doing the work you're doing now, because I definitely needed you 12, 13, 14, I don't know, I guess it's been almost 20 years now, 20 years
ago. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's a beautiful, it just is a beautiful thought in my brain to be able to, I just envision that, and I know even for myself, it would have been nice. And I did have people around me, but the concept is much different.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be beautiful.
Sounds beautiful. So what we have to do is send Shannon to wherever they do the circles so she can experience it and learn how to do it.
That would be awesome.
And then she's going to come back and she's going to host the grief retreats where we go.
Oh, what a brilliant idea.
I get a lot of those for other people's businesses. So
continue talking. I'm just going to write that down.
I'm so glad you've come on the show today, Shannon. I guess at this time, I'd like to ask if there's anything like about your community that you are creating that you want to share with the listeners, or anything to do with your work that, not that we haven't touched on it already, but anything more deep that you'd like to share about?
Not really. I mean, I believe you said in the show notes are going to be all my contact information, but really, I just feel so strongly about allowing yourself to feel your grief. And like you said, not to stay in the muck of it, but you, at some point you have to acknowledge it and allow yourself to feel it. And it's a scary thing to do. So if you need someone to hold your hand or someone to reach out to, most people have people in their world that are willing to do it, but they don't know that you want them to. So reach out to them if you can. If you can't, reach out to me. Like Megan said, I have a whole community about it. And it's not, my community is not just for people in grief. It is really to help support the people that are supporting people in grief as well. I really just want grief to be part of life. I mean, happiness and struggle and like just life. Grief is part of life. There's no running away from it. So people in grief are often feeling very alone, but it's because it's hard. It's hard for people to see someone that they love in pain. So I guess I just really want to bring grief to a respect for grief and allow people to live it. So yeah, just come join my group and we'll hang out and we'll help you out. And if you want someone to work with, of course I take one-on-one clients too, but it's the community is a beautiful community to be a part of.
It really is. And another thing too, just to point out for anyone that is trying to support someone going through grief, and this is just coming through, so it must be the guides trying to say, you can't do it wrong either. Like, because I know we talked earlier about how often people in grief feel like they're doing it wrong. I know family members often feel like they're doing it wrong too, and that's why Shannon wants to open this community for others too, because as long as you're trying to support your loved one who's going through grief, then you're doing the best you can. And as someone who's experienced grief, for the most part, I was younger and a bit more immature back then. I knew that it was coming from a place of love, and I didn't take it like they were trying to hurt me when they said the wrong thing. Because it was only the wrong thing in my mind too, right? Like they were just doing their best to
That's
be supportive.
Right.
So we're all in this together.
Yeah. If I could just add on to that too, is if you are supporting someone in grief, try not to take things that they say too personal, because yeah, they're just a raw open wound, and at that moment that maybe triggered them, and then the next moment it would have been perfectly fine. So you're right, you haven't done anything wrong. They just, we don't know minute to minute. Even something as simple as a friend phoning me up before and going, do you want to go for coffee? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd come pick me up. By the time they got there, I didn't want to go anymore. Right. So, you know, so they would come in and have coffee or something like that. So, you know, just try and realize that it's not you. You aren't doing anything wrong. It's just the person is on a roller coaster of emotions. So you just never know. And it really helps a person in grief to know that people aren't getting angry at them. So you're not having to put on as many masks as maybe you once were.
Right. Sure. I think that's such an important point. Is there any last little thing, Shannon, or actually what's coming to mind to ask you at this moment is, what is the best piece of advice you have received or read or whatnot throughout your life?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. That's a good one. Well, I'll just say what popped into my mind. The first thing is to be kind to yourself. Mm. And I put that at the end of almost everything that I do, now that I say that out loud. Because I think, I guess it's the same as love yourself, but I just like be kind to yourself. Almost treat yourself like, you know, would you say those harsh things to yourself? Would you have those high expectations of a friend? You know, that sort of thing. And as weird as it sounds, that also helped me get through some of the darkest points of my grief, because of course I thought I wasn't doing it right. I should be doing this and I should be doing that. And, you know, they say I should be smiling, and they say I shouldn't be smiling, and they say I should, you know. Right. So just be kind to yourself. You're doing the best you can with whatever it is you're going through. And I would have to say that was the best advice. And I don't know where that came from. I'm going to say the universe. But of course, there's all kinds of quotes and everything that you see nowadays on social media that just ring so true to me. But definitely. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Shannon. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend this time with you. And I know the listeners are really going to benefit. Remember, guys, if you're struggling, reach out for help. Myself or Shannon are available to you. There's lots of other people all over the socials available, so don't hesitate to reach out. And just remember, you are beautiful, you are worth it, you deserve an incredible life, and we love you. Have a fabulous week, you guys.
One last thing before you go, I'd like to invite you all to join me in Awaken Your Inner Light Facebook group. It's a community of incredible souls, and on September 14th, I'm going to be hosting the Awaken Your Inner Light experience. It's going to be a 5-day experience. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'd love to have you join us. So again, that's Awaken Your Inner Light Facebook group on Facebook. facebook.com/groups/awaken your light. Have a fabulous day, guys. Until we meet again, lean in to get soulful. Thank you for meeting me soul to soul today on the Soulful Podcast. If this episode connected with you and you feel called to, please share it with your friends and family so they can feel the love as well. Also, don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast player so you get notified when new episodes drop. Please leave a rating and comment so I know what's touching your soul the most and can bring you more of what you long for. If you have suggestions for topics or would like me to speak at your event, please connect with me at soulfullsobriety@gmail.com. Thank you for your love and support in helping me connect with more souls to remind them they are divine, capable, and loved. You're the best. Go out looking at the world through the lens of love.